I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschacha Desatarne Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namane Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Dayataya Kripadaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayine Prabhave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitya Das, another name of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is favored by Srimati Radharani, and who is the ocean of transcendental mercy and the deliverer of the science of Krishna. So, I actually prepared for a class on the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Sridhar Mayapur 3 years ago. And I had quite a number of pastimes that His Holiness Bhakti True Swami gave me this book. Unfortunately, I don't have that book, but I'll try to recall some of the pastimes from memory. But my mind is very weak, so you'll have to tolerate me if I make a mistake. First of all, it was Bhakti Vinod Thakur who inaugurated the present Krishna consciousness movement as we know it today. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was a great scholar and magistrate in the district of Nadia. He was a high court judge. And he used to handle so many cases a day, 12 hours a day, actually. And then he'd take a little prasadam, and I think he slept a couple hours at night, and then he would study the shastras. He'd study the teachings of the six Goswamis. He studied the Srimad Bhagavatam. Studied the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And so he wrote prolifically about Krishna consciousness and how it is the Yuga Dharma. It is the religion for this Kali Yuga. So he was filling, because he had so many responsibilities. He also had 12 children, if I'm not mistaken, which is a lot of responsibility. And he had so many official duties. So he was praying that to the Lord of his heart, Govindaji, that Radha Gopinath Ki. So he was praying to the Lord, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to send him some assistance to spread the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world, because he was feeling overwhelmed, overburdened with the responsibility of doing this. And though there were many bhajanandis, they would have kirtan and so on, there was not ghostianandis, or not preachers. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared on this day, 1874, is that correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was 1874. Huh? So he appeared on this day. And when he appeared, his umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck like a Brahmin thread, just like Shikshastika, his Brahmin thread. It's wrapped. Prabhuji. Gorgopal? Gorgopal, right? So this was an auspicious sign and an omen that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said this is going to be a very rare soul. So when he was only 6 months old, they were in Jagannath Puri at the time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the high court official there in Jagannath Puri. And so he was given very much respect in the area. So when Rath Yatra came by, they actually stopped Lord Jagannath's cart right in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife, who is Bhagavati Devi? Bhagavati Devi. Brought Hare Krishna. Bhima Prasad. Bhima Prasad down. I told you I have a weak mind. Bhima Prasad down to see Lord Jagannath. And just as she brought him under the deities, this gigantic garland falls off the deity and surrounds Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So, again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took notice. This is going to be a very rare individual. So when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Bimal Prasad was only 2 years old, correct me, I have all these pundits here, so I have to double check the ages. Was it 2 years old or 3 years old? Huh? Anyone knows? I believe it was 2 years old. He went and took some, there were some mangoes that were cut up. The Bhagavati, three? Okay, corrected. I stand corrected. 3 years old. These mangoes were cut up to be offered to Krishna. And he's a three-year-old baby. And he walked up and he took one and he started to eat it. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "What are you eating, Boga? You cannot eat Boga. Everything must be first offered to Krishna. And then you take prasad." And the child was mortified. He is 3 years old. So he took a vow at 3 years old. "I will never eat mango again." And when he was 60 years old, when they offered mango, he would say, "No, I am offender. I'm an operati. I cannot take mango." That was the intensity of his determination, the intensity of his vow. He was simply a child, a simple offense. But because he felt, "I have enjoyed separately from Krishna, I've committed this sin, I've taken food, not first offered to Krishna, I will never taste mango." And of course, we know mango is the king of all fruits. Who could give up mango? I might as well give up my left arm before I give up mango. So that was 3 years old. By the time he was 5 years old, he had completely memorized Bhagavad Gita. Who completely has memorized Bhagavad Gita here? Raise your hand. Not me. 5 years old. That was the power of his memory. He had photographic memory. He could hear subject matter once, and then repeated verbatim, even 50 years after he had read it once. So is the power of our great-grandfather, my grandfather, your great-grandfather, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So as a young man, because he had such a powerful brain, he was such a pundit, he was a voracious reader and scholar. And he studied all philosophy. He studied Buddhism, studied Mayavad philosophy. It's very much concerned Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he was thinking, oh, he's going to be contaminated. Because sometimes just hearing Mayavad philosophy can contaminate Vaishnava. Just to hear the blaspheme that you are Krishna, you're as good as... The blaspheme is almost intolerable. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, my dear father, I am only studying this so that I can dismantle the rascals. He knew their philosophy better than they knew their philosophy. And he was such a powerful preacher that when Mayavad impersonalists would be walking on the road, they'd be walking towards him, he would say, you rascal, why are you cheating the people? And he would challenge them to debate, and they would walk, they'd go across the street very quickly. They would stay away. Shringa Guru, like a lion, he would preach uncompromisingly. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who's also Trikalagya, understood that this ray of Vishnu is... hold on one second. Is Sri Varsha Banavi Devi, right? Amanjari, if I'm not mistaken. So his eternal Ras is actually one of the gopis' maidservants, or servant of the gopis, one of the smaller gopis. So was the glory of when we think sometimes. People will, you know, people in ignorance, avajananti mamudha, fools, asses, they sometimes think Krishna is a lusty man. He has 16,108 wives. He has 108 principal gopis and thousands of gopis. He has insatiable lust. Their foolishness to consider Krishna as a lusty man and to think that the gopis are simply some kind of misguided, seduced woman of this material world is the greatest offense. That even a small gopi such as Varsha Banavi Devi, she's a manjari, simple manjari. She could memorize every shloka in the Vedic literature and defeat any philosopher in the world. He spoke English better than the English. He wrote in English that even an Englishman, even I'm a college-educated student, I can't even read his writings. I need a dictionary. His native tongue was Bengali, but he could speak Hindi, Bengali, English. He even preached in German, Sanskrit. So he made a vow. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted him to spread this Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada was saying this morning that on his first meeting with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, that he said immediately, you should preach this Krishna consciousness in the West. And Prabhupada said, especially to the Americans. And I don't know why that was the desire.
But somehow or other, they have that vision. Oh, I know why. Because the Americans are very materialistic rascals who are powerful demons. They control the planet, not just by their big military, their money, but they have mind control over all people. Even India looks like America now. Bombay. Girls, they wear tight skirts. Forget about skirts. They wear tight pants. They're showing their bodies. They're just like prostitutes in Bombay. No longer the seat of Dharma. Indian women were renowned in the world. Most chaste women in the world. Everyone knew that. Now I drive up and down the streets. Prabhupada would be sick to see how degraded. And why? Because they're watching MTV. You're watching American movies. You're being brainwashed by the Americans. You're giving up your culture because America is dictating to you to do so. You are willfully drinking poison. And don't think that Prabhupada would be furious. He was furious even back in 1976, the first time I came here. And everyone wore dhotis and women wore saris. He was furious they were just drinking tea. Now they're advertising Royal Companion or what, whiskey and this and that and cigarettes and Cosmopolitan magazine. And no one's even outraged. I'm outraged. Despicable. So he wanted to be preached in America because he thought if the Americans can take this up, that, and they have influence, they're given a body to influence others, then maybe Jeev Jago, maybe the Indian population will wake up and say, why have we given the greatest wealth away? So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when he began, he had a plan. He had like a business plan, right? Just like in business, they write a plan out. Our 1-year plan, what's our objective? 5-year plan, 20-year plan, right? So they do like that. So he was also the plan. So to lay down the foundation of this plan, he vowed to chant 1 million names of the Lord. He was taking the vow of Haridas Thakur. So he sat down in Bengal in a little hut and he just started to chant Nam Sankirtan. Chant Japa. 192 rounds a day. And he just chanted and chanted. And when the weather got bad and there was a hole in the roof, he didn't bother fixing the roof. He just lifted an umbrella and just kept on chanting. So that lad, that took, who can help me with this? 4 years? 6 years? 3 years? Huh? 9 years? 9 years. Who has such determination? Sit down, chant 192 rounds every single day. I chant about 6 rounds and I'm about half asleep. Right? Sit down. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Firm, fixed. Of course, Tunara pi suni chena tarora pi suhishna manida manidena kirtaniya sadahari. Right? One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects unto others. That is the clear vision and mind of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. His mind so clear. And therefore, with that mentality, he can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Otherwise, it's not possible. It's just not possible. I chanted 64 rounds, I think, three times in the last 30 years. And that was just an incredible endeavor. I think it was like 11:30 at night, and I was, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. 192 rounds a day. 9 years. So there are so many pastimes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta when he wanted to accept initiation. He was such a great scholar. Turn that phone off if you could. Just push the red button. It's my phone. If you just hold the red button, then it'll turn off. It's Murli Dhar. He's calling me. So he wanted to take Diksha. Hold on. Sorry. So he wanted to take Diksha. Now you have to understand, this is probably the greatest scholar on the planet Earth. One time he met one professor from the Ohio State University. Did anyone read that interaction between him and this professor? There's a professor of philosophy and religion. And he started to discourse on every single religion in the world, including Christianity. And the conversation is just, the man comes out very pompous in the beginning. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is very humble. And gradually he increases, till finally the man is just stunned. And he's actually explaining Christianity to this professor who's a Christian. Such a great scholar. The man was bewildered and at the end, convinced. And admitted, yes, Vedic culture is higher than our Western culture. So was the power of his intellect. So vast was his academic accomplishments. It's scarcely, Einstein is a peon compared to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It's a peon, nothing. He could be his doorman, maybe, probably not. So he's going to take Diksha. Who is going to give Diksha to such a person who is so externally qualified? Materially, you could say qualified. Of course, everything that he had was engaged and laid at the feet of the Lord. He's Naistika Brahmachari. He lived like these Brahmacharis, except more austere than these Brahmacharis. Had nothing his whole life. Of course, he had everything. That's the point. He had everything. He could have been he's so many famous men. He could have been the world's richest or the most renowned scholar. He could have taught at Harvard University, Oxford, if he was aspiring for such, such broken glass. But he was looking for the jewel. And the jewel is Nam Sankirtan, Kirtan Ras, the chanting of the holy name. So Natan Goswami also had Chintamani stone. You could touch the stone and whatever it touched would turn to gold. He kept it in the rubbish heap. When man came, I heard he had this stone. Go over in the rubbish, you can get it. So the person's digging through there, with, like the dogs dig through the rubbish here in India, right? And the pigs, the snouts, and he's digging with the pigs. He's digging with the dogs. He's digging for this Chintamani. So he finds it. Oh, I've got this great stone. And then he's thinking, but why is he keeping it in the rubbish? Nadanam Najanam Nasundaram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I don't desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I desire followers of mine. I only desire your devotional service, birth after birth. And in these holy names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. That means everything is in the holy name. This Chintamani stone is worth nothing. So this man is thinking, why has he given me this Chintamani stone? So he goes to, and why was he keeping it in the rubbish? Such a valuable thing. So he goes to Sanatana Goswami. He says, why? He says, I wanted the most valuable thing, and you're keeping it in the rubbish. Sanatana Goswami says, that is not the most valuable thing. That's not the most valuable thing. Well, give me the most valuable thing. Oh, I can give you the most valuable thing. But first you must throw that away. And the idea is we must throw these things away. That is the purport of the story. We must think, everything I have must be laid at the lotus feet of their lordship, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. At the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Then we will get the most wonderful thing. We also have not thrown that touchstone away. As long as we maintain any detachment for sense gratification, for material desires, for danam, janam, sundaram, we will never get the full nectar of the holy name. We must throw it away. Not waste it, but throw it at the lotus feet of the Lord. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, with this great intelligence, this incredible capacity to absorb all wisdom, all knowledge, jnana and vijnana, who can give him diksha? So he goes to the lotus feet of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, an illiterate. He cannot even write or read. But he is the incarnation of renunciation and austerity. Totally detached from this world. Living in the most austere conditions. And totally in love with Krishna Nam. That was his qualification. Not that he was great pundit, scholar. He could also preach like that, but he was in love with the holy name of the Lord. So here is the greatest scholar on the planet going to an illiterate to surrender as the slave of his spiritual master. That's what diksha is. When we say master, we don't just mean we're like a paid servant. We're actually slaves. And until you actually become enslaved to your Guru Maharaj, you will never get full Krishna Prem. You will never get the full Ruchi of the holy name. You must become the Guru's slave. So here is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta coming before Gaur Kishore Das Babaji to become his slave. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji says, I do not accept you. You go away. All right. So I'm going to wrap this up pretty quickly. Sorry. So he pushed so many times to him, reject him. No, you're not qualified. Embarrassed them. Even went to a house of a prostitute to show he was not qualified. Not engaged with the, but sat on her porch. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, also Trikalagya, understood. He is the most qualified person. So finally he stood on a bridge and said, I will commit suicide if you do not accept me as your disciple. And finally said, all right, come. And he gave him diksha. So that's part one. The other part is how he empowered Srila Prabhupada, but we're going to have to save that story for after RT. We have an RT, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada ki! Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada ki! Ocean of Mercy, their great grandfather, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada ki! Gaur Premanandi!
हारमोनियम बंद कर दो नहीं तो उसमें जाएगा।